This is the Football Japan Minute Cast. I'm Ben Mabley with a quick Football Japan Minute Cast on Wednesday the 29th of February. Japan have just kicked off against Uzbekistan in their final third round qualifier for the FIFA World Cup in Brazil. And after beating Iceland 3-1 in a friendly last Friday, with a squad made up exclusively of J-League players, Alberto Zaccheroni has been able to name 8 overseas-based stars back into his starting lineup tonight. It's pretty well a first-choice side, in fact, with Kawashima, Uchida, Nagatomo, Yoshida all returning, along with the captain Hasebe in defensive midfield. Mike Havana's the man chosen to start up front as the lone striker, just ahead of Shinji Kagawa, who does start despite his injury. He's flanked by Shinji Okazaki and Jungo Fujimoto, who keeps his place in the side after impressing against Iceland the other day. Keisuke Honda still out injured, of course. And then, of course, it's Ryo Miyachi, the Bolton Wanderers man on loan from Arsenal, is on the Japan bench tonight, with all eyes on him to see if he'll make his first ever full international appearance. We'll see what happens over the course of the 90 minutes, and I'll be back with a quick match report in just a few seconds. How does that work? Well, the game is over now, and Japan have unfortunately been beaten 1-0 by Uzbekistan in that final qualifier. After a scoreless first half, the goal came early in the second period with what was really Uzbekistan's first proper attack of the match. Alexander Shadrin netting in the rebound after Bahadir Nazimov's diving header had been saved at the far post quite brilliantly by Eiji Kawashima after a fine low cross on the right-hand flank from Yasir Hasanov. Atsuda Uchida, who hasn't seen much game time with his club team Schalke in the last few weeks, didn't really cover himself in glory in defence in the build-up to that goal either, unfortunately. Japan were generally the better side throughout the entire first half, and Shinji Okazaki did actually have the ball in the net at one point, although the referee had already blown his whistle, perhaps a little bit harshly, for a foul by Mike Havana on the Uzbekistan goalkeeper Ignati Nesterov. Okazaki had the best chance aside from that too, when he turned inside his marker and hit a shot against the crossbar after a really good build-up play in midfield from Shinji Kagawa. There was also a long run up the left-hand flank from Yuto Nagatomo, which ended in a tempting low ball across the penalty area, which only just evaded the outstretched foot of Havana. And Japan were then, of course, made to pay for their failure to turn possession into chances and chances into goals when Uzbekistan did take the lead at the start of the second half. They were a little sluggish thereafter as Uzbekistan were happy to sit back and hit on the counter-attack. Japan's best chance to equalise came in the 72nd minute when a pretty good persistent move actually ended with a superb block from the number 19 Islom Inomov as Shinji Kagawa took a little bit too long to take his shot on goal. Coming towards the end of the game, and there was a bit of disappointment for the fans and journalists as Ryo Miyachi was left on the bench. He didn't get the chance to make his much-hyped debut for the full international team. And try as they might, Japan couldn't really create any gilt-edged chances as the clock ticked down. Remember, they've got a bit of a reputation for late goals. But if anything, it was Uzbekistan who looked more likely to score at the end on the counter-attack as the Japanese defence left a bit too much room. Bahadir Nazimov fired over with about a minute to go of the 90, and then Yasir Hasanov really ought to have done better in a one-on-one with Kawashima. In the end though, neither side were able to make another breakthrough, and the game did finish 1-0 to Uzbekistan. Well, the Japan manager and captain have just been interviewed very quickly on Japanese TV here. Makoto Hasebe said it was a difficult game, but we made it difficult for ourselves by not converting the chances we created. His manager Alberto Zaccheroni echoed similar sentiments, saying, "We controlled the first half, but Uzbekistan came into it in the second. We should have taken our chances in the first, but then Uzbekistan are a very good team." The result means that Uzbekistan go through to the final round of Asian qualifying as Group C winners, with Japan in second place. Although with both teams already guaranteed to go through before tonight anyway, the result didn't really matter that much, as placings won't affect seedings for the next round. They'll be decided on FIFA World Ranking, and Japan's is unlikely to change much before the draw is made. Elsewhere in Asia, Saudi Arabia have joined other big Asian names, China and North Korea, in being eliminated from the 2014 World Cup, with still more than 2 years before the tournament actually kicks off. They lost 4-2 away to Australia tonight, meaning that Oman, who beat Thailand 2-0, could go through to the next phase as Group D runners-up in their stead. South Korea will also need to avoid defeat at home to Kuwait tonight if they're to ensure their place in the next round as well. Well, that's it from me at the end of what has been a slightly hurried and entirely ad-lib podcast this week. Join me again on Monday for a normal one as the Japanese domestic season finally gets underway. It's the Fuji Xerox Super Cup between J-League champions Kashiwa Reysol and Emperor's Cup winners FC Tokyo. That's in the National Stadium in Tokyo on Saturday lunchtime. I'll be back with a full report of the action. Until then, take care. Bye for now.